Glory to Jesus Christ. Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish, Homer Glen, Illinois, presents Light of the East, a program revealing how Eastern Catholic churches have nourished the Roman Catholic Church and today's world in profound ways through their histories, traditions, mysteries, spirituality, and liturgy. Hello, I am Father Thomas J. Loya, pastor of Annunciation of the Mother of God Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois. My mission is simple: to take seriously Pope John Paul II's declaration that it is the first need for Roman Catholics to become illuminated by the light of the East, to become familiar with the histories and liturgies of the Eastern churches so as to bring about a great restoration of unity with all Christians, East and West. As our Holy Father described it, when the Church breathes with two lungs, we may all be granted a full taste of the divinely revealed and undivided heritage of the universal Church. This is a story of the Eastern churches, an inspiring story of faith, courage, intrigue, mystery, spirituality, dissension, and reconciliation. But most of all, this is an expression of a great experience of faith through our unique divine liturgy. Join with me now as we look towards the light of the East.
Light of the East is proud to continue a very special four-part series, Recovering a Sacramental Worldview, presented by Father Maximus, monk at Holy Resurrection Monastery in Newberry Springs, California. Part 2, Sacrament as Prayer. Father Maximus.
This is Light of the East. I'm Father Maximus from Holy Resurrection Monastery in Newberry Springs, California. Continuing on the second of a series of four talks on how to recover an authentic sacramental worldview, especially from the theology of the Christian East. How is it exactly that the Eastern, or I should say more specifically, Byzantine perspective and theology can help give us a fuller understanding of sacraments as phases in the event of salvation, rather than as things to be studied arising out of the economy of salvation? I'm sure the question can be answered a number of ways, but I'm going to try doing it by offering three suggestions. First, I think that the Byzantine tradition emphasizes that sacraments are above all prayer. Second, the sacraments are encounters both with Christ and the Holy Spirit. And third, I want to lift up the strong emphasis in the Eastern tradition on the corporate or the ecclesial, the church dimension of the sacraments. In this talk, I'll especially then concentrate on the idea of sacraments as prayer. Now, if you turn to the section of the Catechism of the Catholic Church dealing specifically with the sacraments, that's in part two of the Catechism, you'll see that the authors don't begin with a definition of what a sacrament is. Rather, the Catechism leads off with a beautiful and moving discussion of liturgy in general as the, quote, celebration of the Christian mystery, unquote. Now, this is quite a contrast with, say, the Catechism of the Council of Trent. The document that came out of that council, the Tridentine document, spends a few paragraphs on the dictionary meaning of the Latin word sacramentum, and then immediately launches into the classic theological, scholastic definition of a sacrament. A sacrament is a visible sign of an invisible grace instituted for our justification, all between quotation marks. Now, why the disparity between the two approaches in the two different catechisms? Well, for one thing, the two documents are inspired by quite different concerns. The fathers of Trent were challenged by the quite legitimate complaint of reformers that too many Catholics treated the ceremonies of the Church like magic. The theology of the Counter-Reformation therefore had to draw a sharp distinction between the sacraments, quote, instituted by Christ, unquote, and so-called sacramentals, which are, by the definition in that catechism, instituted by the Church. They had to draw a sharp distinction then between sacraments and sacramentals in order to remind Catholics that membership in the church meant participation in Christ's love and paschal sacrifice through the institution of specific memorials of this salvation. So, Trent and those who developed its theology sought a narrow view of sacrament in order to center the attention of Catholics on Christ as the institutional source and eschatological end of every truly saving event. Unfortunately, this concern tended to submerge the importance of the human element within the sacramental economy. Perhaps the human element had been too emphasized in the Middle Ages, with too much emphasis perhaps on ritual and the arcana that goes with that. But perhaps the correction went a little on too far after Trent. Much less significance was accorded to the reception of Christ's grace into human culture and traditions, a reception expressed and celebrated through ritual. And so, this concern was addressed at Vatican II, which in contrast with Trent sought to broaden the notion of sacrament to allow for a greater degree of interplay between the divine gift and the way in which humans receive that gift. In the very first paragraph of its dogmatic constitution on the Church, Lumen Gentium, Vatican II made the lapidary statement that the Church, quote, is in Christ like a sacrament or as a sign and instrument, both of a very closely knit union with God and of the unity of the whole human race, unquote. So in Vatican II, the Church itself was seen to be a kind of sacrament. Vatican II certainly did not suggest that the earlier theology had been wrong to teach the institution by Christ of seven, count them seven, no more, no less, seven sacraments. What Vatican II sought to do was to go deeper into this truth by reminding Catholics of a still older sense that the Church itself, the Church herself, is the mysterious place in which these precious sacramental gifts are received by human beings who respond to God in the only possible way, by thankful praise for the gift and by persistent prayer that God will continue to draw all human experience, including experiences of pain and suffering, into the embrace of his love. The new catechism was thus the fruit of a real liturgical renewal that found its finest expression in the documents of Vatican II. It's a historical fact that much of this renewal in the Latin Church was inspired by the study of and renewed appreciation for the liturgical rites of the Eastern churches, and especially the persistence there, in our tradition, of the patristic sense that the liturgy is above all a mystery, not so much an institution or a memorial, but a mystery, not so much a thing as an event. One of the pioneers in this movement, the great Benedictine, Dom Odo Cassel, put it this way, quote, mystery means, first of all, a deed of God's, the working out of an eternal divine plan through an act which proceeds from his eternity and which is realized in time and the world and returns once more to him, its goal in eternity. Unquote. One of the essential elements in the program of Vatican II was to restore the lines of communication between the Latin West and the Eastern churches, precisely in order to recapture this sense of the Church and her life as mystery, as a deed done, and an event in which we participate. Thus it was that the Council Fathers wrote in their decree on the Eastern Catholic churches, Orientalium Ecclesiarum, that in those churches, quote, distinguished as they are for their venerable antiquity, there remains conspicuous the tradition that has been handed down from the apostles through the fathers and that forms part of the divinely revealed and undivided heritage of the universal church. Like any ambitious program, that of Vatican II remains a work in progress. One of its most active promoters, of course, was Pope John Paul II. And in that wonderful apostolic letter, Orientale Lumen, that gives the name to this program, he wrote, that is, John Paul wrote, eloquently of the beauty and richness of the tradition of liturgical prayer through which the Eastern churches celebrate the mystery of salvation. The prayer of the church already becomes, he says, participation in the heavenly liturgy, an anticipation of the final beatitude. The Holy Father speaks of the prayer of the church, participating already in the heavenly liturgy. In one of the hymns of the Byzantine Rite, which we sing as part of the consecration of a new church, the congregation chants, "Be renewed, be dedicated, O New Jerusalem, for the glory and light of the Lord have risen upon you." The image is clear. Here and now, in this structure, made with our own skill and resources, shaped by human beings from wood and stone, Christians encounter already that which the apostle saw in his vision. "And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them." This from the Apocalypse of John, chapter 21, verses 2 and 3. We'll return in a minute. This is Father Maximus for Light of the East.
Light of the East will return in a moment.
Glory to Jesus Christ. This is Father Thomas Loya, host here at Light of the East, where we talk about the gifts of the Eastern churches. And one of those gifts is our environmental consciousness. This is where we apply the sacramental liturgical worldview to the matters and issues of the environment and of nature. Well, I'd like you to take an opportunity to come out to our parish, Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish in Homer Glen, Illinois, and see what we've done with the environment. Come and tour our prairie at what's going to be a Prairie Fest, Saturday, August 16th, between 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. That's Saturday, August 16th, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., our Prairie Fest. We're located at 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. At this fest, there'll be food, games, and tours of the church and of the prairie. We have live music. We have the Harvest Moon Band. We have Paul Barron, the master accordion. And we have Carl Linden and the Royal Strings Orchestra. So please come out on August 16, 2008, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. to Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish in Homer Glen, Illinois, to our Prairie Fest. Glory to Jesus Christ. I am Father Thomas J. Loya, and I want to tell you about an organization that I am associated with. It's called the Tabor Life Institute for the Formation and Education in the Theology of the Body. This is an organization that puts on conferences and retreats and workshops and just about anything you can imagine tailored to your needs and to different age groups that communicates the theology of the body, that sacramental liturgical worldview, the truly Catholic human worldview, especially as applied to the human person, human relationships, and human sexuality. We have an exciting website. It's called taborlife.org. You can visit that by going to taborlife.org. You can also contact us for any of your needs, if you would like conferences and workshops or treats and so on, by going to taborlife@earthlink.net. That's taborlife@earthlink.net.
Peace in our homes, in our relationships, and especially in today's world, can only come about through prayer. The members and friends of Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish in Homer Glen, Illinois, invite you to join them every Thursday evening at 7 p.m., for Divine Liturgy and other services offered for the intention of world peace. For information, visit www.ByzantineCatholic.com or call area code 708-645-0241. Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish is located on Wilcook Road, 1.5 miles north of Route 7 and 1/4 mile south of 143rd Street in Homer Glen, Illinois. Divine Liturgy each Sunday morning at Annunciation Parish begins at 10 o'clock. Any Catholic in good standing with the Catholic Church may receive communion at this Sunday Divine Liturgy.
As an internationally known speaker on the theology of the body, Father Thomas J. Loya is called to speak on the topic all over the country and around the world, as far away as Ireland and recently in Austria. If you would like to engage Father Loya as a speaker, we invite you to contact him through the Tabor Life Institute. Inquiries are welcome via email, taborlife@earthlink.net. Or you may call Tabor Life at 708-645-0762. 708-645-0762.
Each program on Light of the East is archived on our website. Learn about the 10 gifts of the Eastern Catholic Churches by visiting www.ByzantineCatholic.com and clicking onto the radio page. If you have any questions or comments about the Eastern Churches, the theology of the body, or any topic discussed on these programs, we invite you to correspond with us through our website, www.ByzantineCatholic.com.
The Daughters of St. Paul sponsor a monthly study group on the theology of the body. The discussions are led by Father Thomas Loya and take place every second Wednesday of the month at Pauline Books and Media, 172 North Michigan Avenue in Chicago from 6:30 to 8 p.m. The presentation is also streamed live online. For more information, call 312-346-4228.
Light of the East could really use your help. We have enjoyed your comments and your dedicated support. More people are listening to Light of the East than ever before. Thanks to EWTN, we are on over 60 of their affiliate radio stations and the Sirius Satellite Radio and broadcast shortwave around the world. Also, thanks to Ave Maria Radio, who broadcast our program in Michigan and Florida, and thanks to Catholic Radio International, we have a stronger internet presence than ever before. But it is the unique nature of Catholic radio right now that some listeners in major cities are unable to hear our radio broadcast. In order to reach them, we need your help. We need your prayers and financial support. We receive donations for which we are everlastingly grateful. But in order to continue to grow in our listenership, we need even more financial support than ever before. If this program and its message means as much to you as it does to me, we need your donations. Any amount will be a blessing. But if you contribute $10 or more, we will send you Theosis, the music of the Byzantine liturgy sung by the Annunciation Parish Choir, which you hear on this program. Checks can be made out to Light of the East, and donations can be sent to Light of the East at 14610 Willcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491.
And now back to Light of the East.
Before the break, we were talking about how it is that in the Eastern churches there's this emphasis that the church herself is the New Jerusalem, and that her liturgy is the liturgy of that New Jerusalem, the heavenly liturgy. So that in our worship here on earth, we can, with the eyes of faith, begin to experience that reality where there is need of neither light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, Apocalypse 22:5. The light that enlightens the church is Christ himself, a light too strong for natural sight, a light that can be encountered only when we are ourselves illumined, baptized, when we have already put on the armor of light, St. Paul calls it, Romans 13:12, when we have, in a sense, actually become light itself through the gift of faith. That's why in the Christian East, the sacraments of initiation, especially baptism and chrismation, or confirmation, are referred to together as the mystery of holy illumination. Again, in the rite of consecration of a church, during the first divine liturgy served in the new temple, the bishop asks God to make this building a place, quote, where there is the pure sound of those who feast and a voice of gladness, and that in it the faithful may be found worthy to offer hymns of praise and glory without condemnation to your glory and to your only begotten Son and your Holy Spirit with knowledge and full sense. And as we worship you in fear of you, that we may be found worthy of your divine acts of pity, and that these supplications of ours, which we offer to your ineffable compassion for us and for all your people, may be acceptable to your goodness. End of quote. Elsewhere in the service, there are prayers and hymns that make particular mention of the temple as a place for the Eucharistic sacrifice, but in this prayer especially important in the ritual, the bishop says nothing about a specific sacrament. The point so strongly emphasized by this prayer is that the entire economy of salvation, through Christ's mysteries, through the sacraments, this whole economy is mediated through, it's celebrated in, it's made effective by prayer. What the bishop implores the Saviour for is that the prayer offered in this place will be worthy of the mystery in the service of which it is made, that it be with, quote, full knowledge and full sense, as opposed to automatic and senseless. And that's why, as Pope John Paul II pointed out in the passage I quoted earlier from Orientale Lumen, the liturgies of the East, and especially those of the Byzantine Rite, are filled to overflowing with music and poetry, incense, aromatic oils, lights and flowers. That's why so much time is given over to these rituals, and why the temples themselves are so richly adorned with icons and curtains and costly materials. All of these are signs intended to make real to earthly eyes what the saints see most clearly through the new gift of sight that is faith in Jesus Christ. And these signs are sacramental signs. They're not merely pointing away from themselves to something completely exterior to them. They actually celebrate what they signify. That's what these signs do. They call forth a response of praise and prayer, and are at the same time precisely that response. They call forth praise and prayer in praise and prayer. They are signs not only of the profligate and unmeasurable love of the divine bridegroom, but also of the pure and virginal, the unconstrained freedom with which his bride, the Church, responds. The late French Dominican, Father Jean Corbon, asks us to consider the sacraments in terms of another beautiful image taken from the Apocalypse of St. John, the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Apocalypse 22:1. Here we touch on what is perhaps the most important insight that the Eastern Churches can offer concerning the relationship between prayer and sacraments. If the sacraments are a river, then human ritual and culture can be compared to a field prepared and ploughed by the labour of generations. People are right to speak of empty ritual. The dry ground of human ceremony really is the dispiriting place, the field of dry bones that Ezekiel saw. But when into this wilderness the mystery of God's love flows, the river of crystal with its sevenfold stream, then the dry fields become places of life and sources of nourishment. Our prayer, however dry and futile it may seem, is thus in the mystery of prayer, revealed as the necessary channel, without which the great river of grace cannot flow into the parched meadows and empty places of human experience. Without our prayer, there is nothing to take hold of this river of grace. Now, none of this contradicts the great and magisterial work of the Fathers of the Council of Trent. If anything, their doctrine, when properly understood, teaches the same message. The very insistence that human language comprises the, quote, form, unquote, of the sacrament, that is, that the words of prayer form the sacraments, that the sacraments are formed prayerfully. This is an articulation in the Latin tradition, at the heart of the Latin tradition, a substantially the same insight we have found in the Eastern churches. Prayer and sacramentals, so-called, may be distinguished from the sacraments properly described, and sometimes this is pastorally most needful to do, but though they may be distinguished, they should never be separated from them. The sacraments are always the emergence through the springs of prayer of that river of crystalline grace. In that sense, they may never be dismissed as, quote, optional extras. nor may they be trifled with, as though they were infinitely pliable and malleable, in contrast with the rigid constraints of the canons of sacramental, quote, validity. Just because every word in the liturgy does not make the sacrament valid, does not mean that that liturgical rite can be monkeyed with. It has a value in itself. It's part of the human response, and above all, the shared human response, a response shared between us and between ourselves and the great Christians, the saints who have come before us. In the East, it is precisely the importance of prayer and ritual that leads Christians to take so seriously the idea that liturgy is a work to be done, a craft to be performed. And furthermore, this work must be carried out according to a rule that corresponds not to a merely external and arbitrary set of rubrics, but to the collective wisdom of the practitioners of this craft, and above all, to those wisest of the wise, the Holy Fathers. If the river is to penetrate every furrow of the human spirit and every dry place of history, then the ground must be prepared, and well prepared, by those who know the art of the husbandry of the heart. Now, all of this has critical consequences for understanding the place of personal prayer, as well as strictly liturgical prayer within the sacramental economy. And I think that's a subject best dealt with in the next talk, as part of our discussion of the Holy Spirit.
This ends part two of a four-part series on Recovering a Sacramental Worldview, presented by Father Maximus for Light of the East. Tune in next week for part three, a talk entitled The Sacraments and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening. Next week, we will return to the Light of the East. To find out more about Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish, visit our website, www.byzantinecatholic.com, where you will also find an archive of all of our programs. If you want this program to continue with its mission of Christianity's reunion, we need your support with a donation. Any amount will be a blessing. Please make out a check to Light of the East Radio and send it to Light of the East, 14610, Will Cook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. That's Light of the East, 14610, Will Cook Road, spelled WILL-COOK Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. From the Light of the East, a new dawn of unity is in sight. God bless you, go with God, and may God grant you many blessed and happy years.